King Archidamus II, in his speech in the previous year, warned his fellow citizens that this is a war like no other, which we may well hand on to our children. And perhaps he alone, of all of the participants in 431 BC, was not sanguine that the initial strategy would work, that any of these initial strategies would work. The Spartan strategy has often been criticized as being unimaginative, as being conservative, and in some cases as just downright retarded. And that is because of the caricature usually painted of the Spartans based on what are at best questionable, if not downright hostile, sources. Nonetheless, the Peloponnesians had reason to believe that they could launch a serious fleet, the size of which is difficult to estimate. But certainly at Sabota, Corinth could launch 150 ships. And these Peloponnesian ships, while not as expert in the open tactics of the Athenians, were quite capable of holding their own in narrow waters and adopting the type of tactics that were used at Artemisium and Salamis during the Persian Wars. And the crews were experienced too. They may not have been of the order of the Athenians, but it's easy to underestimate the size of that Peloponnesian fleet. The problem for the Peloponnesians is their fleet had to be split between two seas. They needed to defend their home waters, the Corinthian Gulf and the western waters of Greece, to keep those trade routes open. At the same time, they had to defend the Saronic Gulf in the east, especially the ports of Megara and Corinth, as well as augment the size of that fleet if they were to challenge the Athenian navy in the Aegean, which is an achievement they never attained during the Archidamian War. It only came later, after 412 BC. The Peloponnesians, however, had these superior hoplites and army. And when Sparta summoned all of her allies and invaded through the Megarid into Attica, this could be 50 to 60,000 hoplites, supported by cavalry and light-armed. And clearly the idea of the Spartans was to fight the Athenians for control of the home waters, the Corinthian Gulf and the western waters, check Athenian naval intrusion in that region, try to reverse the decision of Sibota, and build up a network of allies to break Corcyra and Athenian friends in the west, and invade Attica and either force a hoplite battle or more likely negotiation. The Spartans had reason to believe this. The Athenians came very close to taking the bait in 431 BC and fighting the Spartans in Attica. In 446, 445 BC, when the Spartans invaded Attica under King Pleistanax, Pericles and the Athenian hoplite levy marched out to contest the Spartans. The result was the 30 years' peace. When Archidamus was ordered, ironically, to initiate a war that carried his name, a war that he himself probably didn't really believe in, he crossed the frontier at Eleusis, the famous sanctuary of Demeter and Kore, and he restrained his forces from plundering too widely, still hoping that the Athenians might negotiate. He actually sent heralds into Athens, requesting that Athens rescind the Megarian decree and offer all of the issues to arbitration. Pericles passed apparently some kind of resolution in the assembly that prohibited the receiving of any more Spartan delegates so long as a Spartan army was in Attica. And he went out of his way not to call the assembly while the Spartan army ranged through Attica, ravaging the countryside. And Archidamus really had no choice but to start serious ravaging, starting first in the west at Eleusis, then at the township of Thera, moving to the northeast to the important region of Acharnae, just north of Athens. There were 3,000 hoplites from Acharnae, and they were ready to go out and fight. It took all of Pericles' powers of persuasion to prevent the Athenians from going out there and fighting for their fields. And the Spartans came very close to breaking the morale of the Athenians in the first 2 years of the war. It is also clear that the Spartans were not unaware that the overcrowding of the population, more than half of whom had probably never lived in the city, into the confined quarters between the long walls, was likely to put strains on the food and water supply and lead to the outbreak of plague, as it indeed did in 430 BC. And so rather than face the horrors of a siege, which all Greeks knew about, the Athenians would perhaps risk fighting and giving the Spartans that chance of a decisive battle with hoplites, or at the very least, to open negotiation to save the fields. The Athenians did neither. and the Athenians continued to follow Pericles' strategy in the first year of the war and saw their fields torched.